Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. YouTube feed is 94WIP. Check it out there. We're live today, Eagles camp, for practice midday show. Excited to be there with the Eagles before they head down to Baltimore for their game on Saturday. We'll have the pregame show for you Saturday, our first pregame show of the season leading into the Eagles' first preseason game. Now, before we get going with the Phillies, who are a mess right now, I just want to remind you, my book, whatiffphillybook.com, is the website. It is available for pre-order now. The title, What If? Tackling the Biggest Unanswered Questions in Philadelphia Sports History. Orders will ship in October. You could pre-order yours now for free with free shipping and a personalized autograph. So I appreciate you doing that. And anyone you know who might be a big reader or, you know, kind of enjoy a book like this, I just pass it along the website, whatiffphillybook.com. Okay. The Phillies. Now, I don't know if I had time, if I could go back, if I waited, would I have a what-if book about this, a what-if chapter about this Phillies team? I don't know. Maybe about a different year of this run. But I know this. This Phillies team right now, the 2026 Phillies, they look like they are running out of gas. And this thing is taking on, it's a problem. I'll say it this way. They're running out of gas. That light has come on. You know, that little gas light in the car, and we are a while away from the next gas station. And I will be totally honest with you, I don't know if we're going to make it. This team is running on fumes right now. Six losses, series losses in their eight series since the All-Star break. They are playing bad baseball. And it's extended period. This isn't a week. This is a month, basically. You know, around a month since the All-Star break, where they have just not played good baseball. And I mentioned yesterday on the midday show, and we were doing leading into the game against St. Louis, that this is the softer part of the schedule, the softest part of the schedule left. Other than 1 week in September where they play the Nats and the Mets, you know, you go to from August 31st through the end of the season, it's all good teams. It's all playoff contenders. It's all teams in the playoffs. It's all some of the best teams in baseball. So if they can't beat these teams, they're going to put themselves way behind the eight ball heading into September, where they're going to have to beat the good teams just to make the playoffs. And just making the playoffs right now feels like it is going to be a challenge for the Phillies. The Padres, it feels like two ships passing in the night. The Padres have been incredible, winning 16 of 19. They won again yesterday. I turned that game on, you know, last evening, you know, early last evening, because I knew they were in extra innings against Milwaukee. They had won the first couple of games against Milwaukee, and I was like, man, are they going to sweep Milwaukee? And they walk it off in extra innings. And they sweep Milwaukee. And now the Padres are clear of the Phillies. And when you really think about it, the Padres are a game clear of the Phillies now. But the Phillies beat the Padres 6 out of 6 this season. So when you look at all the games where they haven't played each other, which is obviously the majority of games, and they won't play each other again in the regular season, the Padres are 7 games better than the Phillies. They are way better than the Phillies when they're not playing each other. So that the only reason it's even close is because of the 6 head-to-head in May. And those are over now. So that feels like a ship passing the Phillies in the night. Arizona, I don't think is anything special, but they play a solid brand of baseball. They always have on Torey Lovello. The Nuke Bar trade I thought was a good one for them. They have had good pitching this year. They're going to get some reinforcements back in their bullpen. Marte's a star. Carroll's a star. You know, they're not afraid. And they're probably a good bet to have a representative record at the end of the year. Is that 85 wins, 84? I don't know, but they'll probably be in that range. You know, and the Phillies are going to have to leapfrog that. I also think Miami has proven enough that they're not going away. And they're only a game and a half back of the Phillies. Phillies play them next week. So this is a dogfight now. And you watch the team, and what you see is they look old. I thought this in the beginning of the season. I think it now. And I think old teams can have bursts. They could have months. They could have times where they feel good. But, oh, you know, the baseball season, it's such a great sport because you can't fake it. You just can't. It's too long. You know, you could fake an NFL season. You really can. I mean, teams have these fluky years where they have turnover luck or injury luck or a couple kicks go the wrong way. Just weird stuff happens. And it could flip a 6-11 team to become a 10-7 team just like that. And it's like, is that team any good? And then you go the next year and there's major regression. You're like, wait, how'd that happen? Baseball's rarely like that. Once in a while, you get a, you get a 93 Phillies, you get a 2021 Giants, you get a magical season. But that's not typically how baseball works. But baseball is, it's a long year, everything evens out, and you are what you are over the course, comes out in the wash over 162. And the Phillies are not a great team. They have a lot of flaws, and they're an older baseball team. And when I watch them every day, I see a lack of energy. And typically, energy comes from your best players and a lot of times your younger players. And those two things coincide with a lot of teams, your younger best players. And the Phillies just, quite frankly, don't have enough of those guys. They don't have enough of those guys that have energy and a different gear to go to in August and September. They have guys that look worn down. Bryce Harper doesn't look himself right now. He looks worn down. Kyle Schwarber has looked like a shell of himself since the All-Star break. Trey Turner has had a terrible season. And those are the three guys that are supposed to carry this. Luis Arraez brought a little energy for a couple days. And he's a rental on a new team, going from a bad team to a good team. So he's going to provide that. And I feel good about him. I love the progression of Bryson Stott, who's having one of his better all-around seasons. But other than that, I mean, Bohm looks like he's ready to turtle up and go away. Real Muto looks old. Harper's banged up. Schwarber's banged up. Turner flat out stinks. And in the pitching department, I feel like they pushed Sanchez very hard early. And I think there's been a little bit of regression since then. Now, he pitched well the other night, but a little bit of regression since then. They, obviously Wheeler has had to push himself very hard to get back to where he is. And there's probably a little bit of evening at the last couple of starts to where he's, he's probably not his Cy Young level, but he's still very good. The only guy that feels like he's truly ascending right now in the prime of his career is Jesus Luzardo. That's it. Everybody else is a major question mark. And you kind of watch this whole thing play out, and you wonder if they're going to have enough in the tank to get to the finish line. Now, Aaron Nola, another one, who has stabilized, but in his best is so far behind him. Andrew Painter trying to find his way. But this is all challenging stuff for this baseball team. And then the area where they probably look the most vulnerable right now and have for a long time is their bullpen. Their bullpen ERA since the middle of June is over 5. That is a long sample. I mean, if we had started this sample at the beginning of the year and it was a 2-month sample and we got through May and they had a 5 ERA in the bullpen, we'd say it's the worst bullpen in baseball, one of the 2 or 3 worst bullpens in baseball. It's going to kill them, crush them. They got to fix it. That's the Phillies bullpen since the middle of June. That's how bad it's been. And they've tried. They did a couple things here. I don't think enough, but they tried. I mean, they traded for Brooks Raley. Kind of bizarre how Manley's used him so far, kind of in mop-up duty yesterday. What are we doing? I need him tonight in Dyersville, Iowa. He'll pitch up for the Phillies in a big spot against Cody Clemens or some of their left-handed hitters. I don't know what that was. But they're running on fumes out there. They don't have enough good arms. The Killian trade, I think they were counting on him to develop very quickly here under Caleb Cottom, and he's gone backwards. They have 3 relievers I feel like I want on the mound right now. And that's Duran. And it's Jonathan Bolin. And it is Brooks Raley. Anybody else out there, I don't want them anywhere near the mound. Now, I'll throw a little wild card on Alex McFarland because he just got here. And he's doing really well in the minor leagues. And there's some stuff there. I know he gave up a run the other night. I'm not gonna go crazy over that. He's got an arm. And he's a pitcher that has a chance to be something pretty good here in the major league. So, okay. I'll go along with how often they use him and how they try to develop him into this thing. But that's still a half a bullpen. I mean, Kirkering is, I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. And Alvarado has been trashed the whole year. So you really start to unpack this thing and you wonder, like, how are they going to get to the finish line? And if they do, will they have anything left? And I think that is an important part of this. You go back to 22 where they had a fight and claw to get in. But they were able to, in that year, give Zach Wheeler a 2-week respite on the injured list late in August to get him right for the postseason. Bryce Harper missed a lot of time that summer because of the broken thumb. So he was kind of, you know, he struggled in September, but he was fresh when he came back. The team as a whole was younger. And they got on a heater when they reached October. In that final game, it was like jet fuel. They clinched it. They got the victory in Houston. They celebrate. How many more wins, Stopper? And it was like jet fuel. And they arrived with their hair on fire into the postseason in St. Louis. This team, I don't sense the same thing is going to happen. I hope it does, but I don't sense it's going to. And the thing that concerns me with them is if they have to fight and claw as much as it feels like they're going to have to fight and claw just to make the playoffs, and if they're going to have to really empty the tank in the month of September just to get to the finish line here and try to edge out over Miami and Arizona just to get in, and if that's how this works, then my concern is they're going to arrive at the doorstep and knock on the door to the postseason, and the door is going to open, and they're going to collapse of exhaustion and have nothing left in the tank for the biggest games. And this is a product of their start at 9-19. That's why it's very difficult to recover from that. It is a product of their age. It is a product of their lack of depth. It is a product of their farm system, which has not been fruitful for them. It has not provided the boost. Like, could you imagine right now, instead of Alec Bohm rolling out there, it was Aiden Miller in his rookie season making an impact the way, let's say, George Lombard is making an impact for the New York Yankees. And it happens every year. There's two or three kids that come up in a pennant race and they make impacts. They jolt the team. And that was supposed to be this team this year. Now, I'll give Painter a little credit because he's been better lately, and perhaps he's going to finish strong and give us a good sense of his future and help this team make the playoffs. So that could be. And I think Crawford has come on in the last month, and I'm excited to see how he finishes his rookie season and what he could build off of. You know, can he get that weighted runs created plus, that OPS plus to that 85-90 range? Can he sit there by the end of the season? How close to league average could he get with his offense? And then you kind of jump into the offseason. All right, you know, now an offseason, work all offseason, add some strength, and we'll see what we could do next year. You know, how far can we take this? Is he a Juan Pierre? Is he more? You know, we'll see. But so that's good. But it's Miller was supposed to be the impact one. That was the impact bat to add to the team that would obviously at some point take Alec Bohm's job, which they've been trying to do. And they've been trying to get this guy out of here. And they've been so uncreative and so bland and so nonchalant about the problem they have with that player for years. And it's quite frankly embarrassing that they've let it go this long. And we're going to watch this entire tenure play out with him playing basically every day. It's a joke. So, you know, I hope tonight is different. I'll be locked into the Field of Dreams game on Netflix. I actually showed my kids Field of Dreams for the first time this week. We watched it to kind of get ready to watch tonight. And that's a cool experience. My kids are 11 and 9 and watching Field of Dreams with them. I don't remember how old I was the first time I watched it, probably around that age, but they loved it. And, you know, it's cool when movies from our youth, my youth, you know, still hit, resonate, you know, with kids. And we've watched a bunch of baseball movies and sports movies, and a lot of them do. You know, they're well made. And there's a reason why they stay and they hold the test of time. But they really like Field of Dreams. I'm excited for tonight, but I'm more excited tonight for the pageantry and the broadcast, which is on Netflix, and the way it looks and the introductions and the uniforms and the event that is the baseball Field of Dreams game than I am the Phillies. I mean, what inning is Cody Clemens going to put one into the corner off of Nola? First, second? I mean, it's going to happen. Like, we know where this is going. And the Twins are only a half game out of a playoff spot in the AL. So they're fighting and clawing for their own playoff lives in that league. So, you know, we'll see. But I am concerned that they're out of gas. And I don't know where the next gas station is and how they get rescued here. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check it out there. We'll be live today on YouTube, 94WIP on your radio, and the Odyssey app, live from Eagles training camp and from the Jefferson Health Training Complex as the Eagles have a practice today before they head to Baltimore for the preseason game on Saturday night. One more time, whatiffphillybook.com is my book. Appreciate everyone with the pre-order so far. And obviously, we'll keep taking them for the next couple months as we will ship out in early October. Can't wait to get you a copy. Whatiffphillybook.com. Free shipping and a personalized autograph if you would like. Thank you so much for listening to WIP Going.